Petition number 13038, Rule 3.
What you did, which parts did you visit?
Well, we went, of course, through all the parts of Gallipoli to start with. Then we went to Egypt and went around with the Australians, all the places they went to. I thought I went with them, of course, and then I was the only Englishman amongst them.
Were you? They landed at... Was it at Helles? They went ashore and the Turks were waiting for them?
They certainly were. They certainly were waiting for them, all right.
Did you go up to Suvla as well?
Suvla, yes. Mm.
So you...
Suvla Bay. Mm.
So you must have gone there by boat, did you?
Yes. Mm.
They built a road today.
Eh?
They've built a road now.
Have they?
Mm. And did it look much the same as you remembered it from the first time?
Oh, yes, there wasn't much difference. I shouldn't think there was any difference.
Apart from the cemeteries?
Apart from that, yeah.
Of course, there's one on Chocolate Hill, isn't there?
Yes, there is, that's right. So my old pal... who was Mouse at that time, he was killed by a sniper,
He's buried there, is he?
Yes, he's buried up in the old there. They got him and the machine gun officer the 10th at the same moment. Mm. Same sniper got the two of them.
That was when you were on the Chocolate Hill, was it?
Yeah. Mm.
Do you remember what his name was?
Yes, Jim Maxwell. Mm. That was my own officer. And the other officer, the 10th London, I don't know what his name was, but he got him as well at the same time. Mm. They were apparently in a trench there, mapping out probably machine gun position, and this damn sniper got them both through the bunch. That's a gruesome business. He was a nice fellow, was old Jim Maxwell. He was a lovely fellow. Ideal soldier he was. I remember when the war correspondent of the... when we landed there, the war correspondent of the Daily Mail, I forget what his name was now, well known at that time, was walking at the back there, and he put a fag on. Oh, Jim Maxwell says, "Put that out, will you?" So he refused. So old Jim Maxwell says, "You don't put that light out. I'll put your light out." No, Chuck. And he did. He would have done too, there's no doubt about that. I don't know if you remember the name of the war correspondent in those days, but I could remember the names at times. I'm damned if I can remember them now.
The only one I know of is Ashmead Bartlett.
That was him.
That was it.
That was him. Ashmead Bartlett.
What did you think of him? He wasn't too popular, was he?
Oh, he was only there for what he could make out of it, of course.
He lived on Imbros, didn't he?
Eh?
He lived on Imbros.
I don't know where he lived, and he probably did. But,
and he brought over lots of champagne.
Did he?
Yeah, and used to wear a silk dressing gown.
Oh, well, that may be it. It was. We never saw any of that, so. Ashmead Bartlett, he was a big noise, he was.
Did he used to come about a lot?
No. No, he'd only get on if there was anything to him. Where he could get an article on, that was all he wanted. Yes, I remember him well.
Do you remember what the salt lake used to look like?
Yes, absolutely. A great open flat stretch of country. Mm-hmm. And absolutely flat and dry. Mm. And actually, when we landed, the Dorset Yeomanry advanced across there. I can remember them going, and they were in the... in lines like that.
Yeah.
And walking up there. And the Turk batteries were shelling them and putting a shrapnel over them every now and again. As they went up there, they were going up towards the Chocolate Hills.
Yeah, you watched them marched over, did you?
I could see them up on my position, up on the hills, where I was. Because I was already fixed up there. And
did you write many letters home?
I don't remember, but I expect I wrote an occasional one. That's. I did my stuff fairly well, I think, so far as you could under those conditions. Of course, we were allowed to send fill cards, that's all.
Oh, that was it, was it?
Fill service cards, that's all we were allowed. We weren't allowed cameras or diaries or anything like that.
And yet some people took them. Was it just your battalion, or was it a general rule?
A general rule. It was an order.
So they were breaking the rules?
They were. They certainly were. Some officers, of course, would be doing that. The juniors, I suppose.
Did you get many letters?
Many what?
Did you receive many letters, do you know?
Oh, I got regular, I think, fairly regular, I think. Of course, they were all censored very heavily in those days. Every letter for it was given to you, it had to be read by an officer and that. And our own letters, when we sent them, of course, they were censored like blazes. Mm. And some of those, I censored some of my blokes, they were proper cockney around, and some of the letters were proper, they were pretty murderous. The way they used to do it.
Do you remember in the drill hall, somebody once told me they had two lots of writing on the wall in one of their drill halls. I'm trying to remember what the bits were. Two mottos. Did you have anything on the wall of your hall?
No, nothing special, no.
Do you think about it quite often now? The war and things like that, or do you not think about it a lot?
I think about the war a lot. Of course, there are things impressing itself on your mind you don't forget. See?
What things in particular are those?
My old pal, Jimmy Maxwell, playing people like him. How he went.
There are certain things, are there, that you keep remembering?
Oh, yes. Yes, you remember the war part of it, of course.
What do you think of it overall? Do you think it was a terrible thing?
Yes. I think it's bloody scandalous. I think the 14 war was a terrible, damn, disgusting thing. And that Hague should have chucked his job up sooner than be prostrate to send all those blokes to be killed like he did. Because he didn't send them in ones and twos, he sent them in thousands. They got killed. It was a butcher shop, that's what it was. And there's nothing justifies that sort of slaughter, nothing at all.
Do you think you were lucky then, in that it wasn't quite so bad as that, in Palestine particularly?
Well.
Or do you think there were things in Gallipoli which made it just as bad?
Well, you take things as they come. After Gaza and Beersheba had gone, of course, it was quiet. We got occasional fights here and there as you go up the country, but there was no big stand-up like there was at Gaza.
Do you remember how you felt when you waited in the trenches before an attack?
Oh, yes, I didn't think much of it. I'm afraid I didn't pay much attention to it. Jumping going, when it's got to go, you've got to go, and that's it. When you go in advance, you blow your whistle, over the top, and off you go. Some move it, some of you go down, some don't. That's it. That's a queer business war.
Lord Harding was saying he doesn't remember being particularly frightened because he was too busy getting on with the job.
Well, that's it. Well, you're not frightened, obviously. I wouldn't say I was frightened. I know. I just took this in my stride, that was it.
Do you think that's the way that most people felt about it?
I should think so. Most of my chaps, they seem to take it like that. Only saw one bloke show actual signs of fright, and that was, he did, that fellow, he did. And I lost him after that. I don't know where he went or what happened to him, but he turned absolutely right up the idea.
Was that at Gallipoli or is it in Palestine?
That was in Palestine neighbourhood. I couldn't say I saw anybody show much signs of fear or anything like that. They just got on with the job and that was it.
What did you think of the Turks at the time? Did you think anything of them before you got there?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. I didn't know anything about them, of course. They were pretty good as soldiers, they were. Rough stuff, of course. They all seemed grown up compared to our chaps. See, they were bumped off just as easy as anybody else when it come to the doings. I always remember one chap. He came out as we were finishing one attack down in Palestine towards the end of it. Our chaps were coming up attacking, and this fellow, he jumps out of the trench with his rifle and barrel like that, Turk, you know. Mm-hmm. Take them all on, all everybody, take on the whole British army. He stood there for just about 2 seconds and he stiffened up and bent forward on his nose. Someone shot him. That's what he got for being saucy. I always remember him because I never saw a man ask for it so much.
Did you find when you were there that you had any sort of hatred for them?
No.
Or were they were just people you were fighting against?
No need to hate them. Not hate them, you couldn't say hate them. Just part of the job. When you get them as prisoners and that, then.
Did you get many prisoners?
Oh, yes, sometimes we did. It just depends what the engagement was. If it was a big affair, of course it came to outflanking them and all that sort of thing. You get them then, of course. So you get prisoners that time. I saw the first battle of Gaza, they tried to outflank us. They did, actually, and they achieved their object. They made us retire in the first battle of Gaza. And when we, the battle was going good and strong, they, battery over, they sent a battery round to the side there, took us on about 2,000 or 3,000 yards away, and sent troops around with them. But they didn't send enough troops to justify us retiring. Mm. But it was a, I should imagine it's a rule of war. If you don't stop there, you just go back, that's all.
Do you remember the retirement?
Oh, I remember.
That was during the night, was it?
Yeah, it was. Well, it was very bad, that was. We were machine guns along here, and there was the artillery, our artillery, out in front there. And they were shelling away, and the Turks were shelling back, four guns at a time. You could see these shells coming over and igniting. It was, because it was getting dark then. You could see them lighting up as they, all four of them. And the bloke, our gunner bloke, he was a hero. He stood there taking everything on. And these blinking shells coming down, vroom, four at a time. And he stood there and yelling out through his megaphone, you know. I didn't see what happened to him. I had to retire after a certain time myself.
Was he part of your brigade?
He was artillery, yes, to do with our artillery, he was.
Mm. But you don't remember his name?
Our division artillery, I wouldn't know his name, no.
Yeah, I met somebody from your divisional artillery about a year ago who was put on the gun somewhere at all the battles of Gaza.
You did?
Oh. Yes. And his brother also, I think in the first battle of Gaza, won the MC for taking the guns back off the top of the hill in the retirement.
Oh.
So. Did you ever get any leave during the war?
Only in Egypt.
You got some when you were...
Got a week.
When you were on the canal, were you?
Once in a way.
Where did you go? Back to Cairo?
Yes. I got a week, just once in a way.
And you were never wounded?
No. No, I never got a wound. Through the grace of God. In command, he got a shrapnel in all to himself in the end. Got him in the legs.
That was the officer or the Lance Sergeant?
Lance Sergeant, he was.
Do you think they were a good lot, your section?
Oh, yeah, they were pretty good. I didn't have any trouble with them.
What about the whole battalion? Do you think they were a good battalion?
Well, of course, I never had much to do with them, actually. I was detailed and that was it. But they were all right. They did pretty well. Did the job they were paid for, as it was.
You went up to see Maxwell's grave, did you?
No, I never went up
there.
You
didn't go?
No. It was too far. I meant walking. I didn't fancy walking up there. Back to England, of course. I was posted him up then, and as we came round in the English Channel, it was raining like hell, and there was an enormous great mine floating. I thought myself, good old England, we found it, a great big mine floating out there. One of the sailors was shooting at it with a rifle. That's all you went. No damage done.
Lots of little nicknames that you remember?
Well, no, not many. No splice and all that in there. Mm-hmm. I took all around there. I went around with the Australians afterwards.
These ones? It'd be difficult to see them like this, wouldn't it?
Who was it?
You went to?
Oh.
When you were in the war, before the war?
Before the war. Larkhill, Salisbury, Aldershot, the Long Valley, all over the place. Wareham in Dorset.
Were you in charge of the machine guns before the war?
Yes.
Mm. Were they Vickers then?
They were Vickers, but they were old style stuff that the army got rid of. And we started the war with second Emblem guns that the army wanted to get rid of. We didn't get the Vickers Maxim until we got on the Suez Canal.
Lord Harding was mentioned to us that when you were on the Aquitania, you put out some of the guns.
We what?
You put out some of the guns for anti-aircraft fire, and the ship was rolling so badly that one of them got washed away.
It was that was the 10th London's one. Went over the side. Their own fault, of course, not looking after it. Nothing to do with me, that one.
Had they not lashed it down?
Hey?
Had they not lashed it down to the deck properly?
No. They got on the edge there and it just tipped them, went over. I'm not looking after it.
Did anything else like that happen on the voyage, do you remember?
No, nothing much.
How did you keep fit?
Just racing about, you know, on the boat. There's plenty of room to run about.
Did you go back to Mudros at any time?
Yes, I went over to Mudros a couple of times.
Do you remember when?
Well, it was while the war was on, of course.
Yes,
I went over there. And went across and it was rather funny. It was one of our chaps, and There was two Greek sailors, one of them playing a blinking guitar, sitting outside the house.